What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Night Shift. I am your host, as always, Zach Hernandez, and today I'm super stoked to get into all things week one with you guys, because we just got out of week one. Football season is finally in full swing. We're in it. We're here. And I am just super duper hyped to get into everything. Week one was pretty eventful, honestly. There was a lot going on in week one, a lot of storylines, a lot of different players playing well, some players playing not so well. So definitely a good amount of things to get into. So we are for surely going to hop into that. But before we do that, you guys can follow the podcast on so many different social media platforms. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see this little scroller ticker here on the bottom with all the social media handles. So Instagram at the Night Shift Pod, TikTok. Nope, that's not true. Instagram at the Night Shift dot pod, TikTok at the Night Shift Pod, Twitter at the Night Shift, two T's at the beginning, two T's at the end, and on YouTube at the Night Shift Pod. Now, in all the descriptions and in all the bios, there should be a link that takes you to the link tree, which has the links for everything. So it has the links to all the social medias, and it has the links to where to listen to the pod, right? So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can find us everywhere at the Night Shift Podcast, but hit up those link trees and you'll get all the information you'll ever need. And like I said, these are on YouTube now. So listen on YouTube, right? You can watch me. You don't have to just listen. You can watch me too. Kind of cool. Also been looking for some guests to hop on the show, right? I actually had a guest scheduled to come on tonight. But then last minute they weren't able to do it. So I'm running solo, which is totally cool. But if anyone ever wants to hop on the show, totally let me know and we'll definitely make it happen. All right. So what we're going to do here is a new segment. After every week, I'm thinking I'm going to start this up. I'm going to give you guys the good and the bad. So the good and the bad from week one. And I'm just going to kind of rapid fire through this. My top five good from week one and my top five, I guess you could say bottom five bad from week one. And I'm not going to spend too much time here. I'm just going to give you a little short overview of a couple good things and a couple of bad things from week one. And then after that, I'm just going to get into a bunch of different topics. Got a couple of things I want to touch on today. So we're going to do a couple of things after that. But we're going to start with the good and the bad from week one. Okay, these are in no particular order. No order in particular. I just threw it together, top five, bottom five. So don't think I'm ranking these. I'm not. But these are the good. We'll start with the good, starting with Baker Mayfield. Yeah, Baker Mayfield looks good. Okay, the Bucs, they won 37-20 against the Commanders pretty convincingly. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, both played very good games. Both were targeted a lot. Okay, Mike Evans ended with, I think it was around 61 yards, had two touchdowns. Godwin had a good amount of yards. He was playing in the slot, which is different because he's been a slot receiver in the past and now they got him in the slot and he was thriving. And I think it's a good thing. I think we're going to see Chris Godwin thrive a lot more in this offense. And that's especially going to happen when Baker Mayfield is diming it up. Okay. So the Bucs overall is a good, they were part of the good, but I just left it here for Baker Mayfield because that guy was tearing up this Commander's secondary, okay? 289 passing yards, four touchdowns. Leads the league in touchdowns right now, Baker Mayfield does. Four touchdowns, not a single interception. He was looking really good, 24 of 30 on completions. Baker Mayfield was slinging the football. I watched a whole lot of that game, and everything was just looking smooth with Baker Mayfield. He was diming up Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, a couple of nice long balls, threw a beautiful ball to Evans, and Evans made a spectacular play on it in the end zone for Evans' first touchdown in the game. Baker Mayfield has turned into a legit quarterback. I'm here to say it. I hope other people are acknowledging that, because Baker Mayfield has turned into a legit quarterback in this league, somebody who will be a top quarterback, somebody who's not just floating around like Mayfield kind of with the Browns. It got ugly. But no, he's a Tampa Bay Buck. He found his home in Tampa and he's looking good. So Baker Mayfield's part of the good. The next is Derek Carr. Derek Carr, three touchdowns, 200 yards, absolutely dismantled the Panthers. It was 47-10 was the final score. And oh my gosh, I mean, Derek Carr, that guy looked great. For you guys on the pod who have listened to this for a while and just know me, they know that I've had some opinions about Derek Carr in the past, about how, you know, back when the season where they signed, when they traded for Davante Adams, I was really high on Derek Carr. And I thought Derek Carr was going to be a top like 10 quarterback in the league. It got ugly after that. Derek Carr looked good. Okay. The Panthers defense sucks. Like it's worse than I thought. I thought their defense coming into the year wasn't going to be horrible. No, it was bad. The Panthers defense was not good. So we'll see how Derek Carr does next week. But I think they're playing. Actually, I'm not exactly positive on who the Saints are going to be going against next week, but they're going against Dallas. So that's definitely a better matchup, worst matchup for Carr. But anyways, Derek Carr was looking really, really good. Put up 3 touchdowns, not a single interception. He was diamond up his receivers. Derek Carr was looking fire. So shout out to him. Part of the good list this week. Next, we got on the Friday night game, Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley was the best looking running back of the week. And coming into the year, I didn't know exactly what to expect, right? Saquon Barkley has had his career with the Giants, hasn't looked he's obviously looked good. He's been an elite running back, but been hurt. Tough offensive line makes it not easy to produce in an offense like that, right? So here's Saquon Barkley in his first season with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he thrived. That offensive line was opening up holes all over the place for him. He was breaking tackles. Saquon was caught a 20-yard touchdown pass. I mean, he was just everywhere. Ended with 3 touchdowns, 109 rush yards, and 23 receiving yards. And they end up beating the Green Bay Packers in a really good Friday night game. Although, don't even get me started on the field conditions, because that was ugly. That game probably should have never been played in Brazil. But no, Saquon Barkley, fantastic. Probably the best running back of the week. I'm pretty sure he had the most fantasy points out of anybody this week. So Saquon, definitely part of the good here in week one. The fourth guy in my good category is Sam Darnold. How weird. I'd have never said that, okay? Listen, I'm not getting on a Sam Darnold hype train or anything. I'm very far from that. And do I think Darnold will come back down to earth? Of course I do. I'm not high on Sam Darnold, but I'm not going to sit here and take away from what he did yesterday. This is being recorded. No, not yesterday. 2 days ago. This is being recorded Tuesday night. Y'all are probably hearing this Wednesday morning or afternoon, I should say. But I'm not going to take away what Sam Darnold did. It's the Giants defense. I know, again, another not good defense going against. But Darnold, he started the day 12 of 12, completed his first 12 passes, ended the day 208 passing yards with 2 touchdowns, did have an interception, threw the ball 19 of 24. That was his completion percentage. That was his ratio. Not ratio, but I guess percentage, 19 of 24, whatever you want to call it. And they end up crushing the Giants 20-6. Darnold looked good. He found Justin Jefferson. My biggest critique of the Minnesota Vikings coming into the season, especially of guys like Justin Jefferson in terms of fantasy football value, was Sam Darnold. He's the guy who's throwing him the football. And you don't, it's tough to trust a guy. It's tough to trust an offense with a guy like Sam Darnold, who is leading the show, right? Throwing the passes. So I was not high on him, but Darnold looked really good today and Sunday. And am I expecting this to keep going? Not really, but I'm giving him his flowers because Darnold had a really good game. And hey, if Justin Jefferson, listen, Darnold's a guy who's relying on heavily on that first read. Okay. If the first read's not there, could be ugly. And hey, it's the best guy in the league, arguably, to have as your first read, Justin Jefferson. So if Jay Jettis can keep getting open like that, it could be an interesting season for the Vikings and Sam Darnold. My last guy is Jim Harbaugh. Kind of an interesting pick here. They end up beating the Raiders after going down. They were down 7-0, I think. The Raiders might have scored the first 7-3 in the first quarter. And they scored a decent amount in the end. It was 22-10 was the final score. Harbaugh found his way, okay? Didn't need to pass the ball much. He found J.K. Dobbins, a little diamond in the rough there, who I was kind of high on coming into the year because I was like, listen, J.K. Dobbins was good in Baltimore. He was just always injured. He's going to be that RB1. And although Gus Edwards, who was also a Baltimore Raven, still got a solid amount of touches. In fact, he may have gotten more, if I'm not mistaken. Gus Edwards got 11. J.K. Dobbins got 10. But J.K. Dobbins was a heck of a lot more efficient than Gus Edwards was. Had 135 rush yards with a touchdown, and pretty much just looked really, really good. So Jim Harbaugh still finding ways to win in the NFL, went against a bad Raiders team who looked worse than I anticipated them to look. But shout out Jim Harbaugh. Got his first win back in the NFL. Okay, let's get to the bad. And there's some stinkers. There are some stinkers. Starting with Deshaun Watson. Oh. Oh. I just don't know. I just don't know. I mean, Deshaun Watson, to go from a top five elite quarterback to whatever the heck I watched on Sunday. I'm going to dive into this way more after I get into the good and the bad. So I'm just going to touch on it here. All I'm going to say is Deshaun Watson was horrendous. 169 yards, which a lot of those came from one drive. It's like a 75-yard drive. And then like some of them came towards the end in garbage time. One touchdown, two picks, both bad. Fumbled the ball once, if I'm not mistaken, but it got jumped on by a Brown, I think. I mean, Deshaun Watson doesn't know where to go with the ball, doesn't know where to go with himself, doesn't know who to throw to, and when he finds the guy to throw to, he's not even close to accurate. He has dropped off significantly. I was on the hope that he could maybe have a revival season, especially because he was kind of my backup quarterback when Jordan Love got hurt. Not anymore. He's not going to be. Deshaun Watson is a bad football player. I don't know what happened, but he's not good. And he was arguably the ugliest thing about week one. Number two, we're going to go with the Giants. They just looked terrible. Didn't score a touchdown. It was 28-6 was the final score as they lost to the Vikings. Daniel Jones, I mean, we know this. I've said it a billion times. Even when they paid Daniel Jones, I said it was one of the worst contracts ever. I think there was a podcast of me talking about it for like half hour of how bad of a contract that was. Of course it was. I was right. I mean, I don't know how you could be wrong about that. Daniel Jones is bad. They should have never paid him that money. And they did. And it was the biggest mistake. And it set this franchise back years. What do you do with Daniel Jones now? Well, you paid him $40 million per season. So if I'm the Giants, you let him play and stink it up and hope you lose every game and get the number one pick and then draft a quarterback. I guess he's so bad. And I feel so bad for Malik Nabers. But the Giants are just, it's Daniel Jones and the Giants. I already knew Daniel Jones was bad, and I obviously knew the Giants was bad, but man, the Giants are just bad. They set themselves back big time. Number three is the Bengals. Listen, I'm not too worried because we've seen it's like death, taxes, and the Bengals starting 0-1, even 0-2. I mean, like, that's just what they do. They suck in the beginning of the year. They lost to the Patriots. They lost me my survivor pool because I picked them and I shouldn't have because I know they always suck in week one. And they lost to the New England Patriots, who in my opinion should be probably the worst team in the NFL, maybe just bottom four. They lost 16-10. Burrow did bad, didn't throw a touchdown, had less than 200 yards. Quarterbacks in general this week were pretty putrid besides the first couple that I named, and that was pretty much it. And obviously some of the elite ones, Josh Allen, Brock Purdy, they were fine, but just the Bengals did not look good. Jamar couldn't really get him the ball. Bengal, but again, not worried. They'll figure it out how they always just end up doing so. The Panthers. Yeah. I thought maybe there was a little glimmer of hope that the Panthers would be okay. They're not, they suck. They might even somehow be worse than last year. And they were, at least they have their pick this year. At least the Panthers have their pick this year because last year they were the worst team and they didn't even have their pick. So the Panthers are just terrible. They lost 47-10 to the New Orleans Saints. Bryce Young looked bad. Last season, I was a little bit of a Bryce Young defender. I thought he wasn't as bad as people made him out to be. He didn't have the weapons like a guy like CJ Stroud does. His offensive line is absolutely atrocious. Bryce Young did not look good. He doesn't know where to go when he's in the pocket. To be quite honest, I don't know if his athleticism can hang with the NFL guys because it's like every play, he's got to like put in every 100% effort. He's like running for his life. It's just, I hope he does well. And I'm rooting for the Panthers and I'm rooting for Bryce Young, but it doesn't look good. And the final guy on my bad list is Kirk Cousins. The Falcons offense was not good. The Falcons' offense was surprisingly terrible. Kirk had 155 yards, only threw for one touchdown, which was to Kyle Pitts. Shout out Kyle Pitts, who's on my fantasy team, third-rated tight end this week. And he had two interceptions, one that came at a really costly moment towards the end of the game. Kirk Cousins looked bad. He looked like a guy. He looked like a 35-year-old quarterback who just came off of an Achilles tear. And he did. That's him. Hopefully he can shake the rust off. It's week one. Again, it's week one, right? So all these things are just, I'm just going off what I saw in week one. And who knows? Things can drastically turn around. And I like Kirk Cousins generally. I think he's a fine quarterback, but it was ugly in week one. He did not play good. A costly pick in the end, had two interceptions overall. Couldn't really get the offense moving. They were feeding Bijan like crazy, and they still weren't really moving the ball. Atlanta looked bad, and Kirk looked bad. That is the good and the bad from week one. My top five and bottom five from week one. Maybe we'll make this a recurring thing throughout this season. Now, what I'm going to touch on a couple of more topics here from week one. Like I said earlier, how I was going to get into Deshaun Watson. I'm going to get into Deshaun Watson. And what the heck should the Browns do with Deshaun Watson? Because, oh my goodness, is this guy bad? Is this guy bad? And might I add that he has a ridiculous contract. They obviously gave him a fully guaranteed contract. Was it $230 million? Might even have been more than that. So if you're the Cleveland Browns, what do you do? Well, first off, there's not a ton you can do. You have put your team in a hole, in a complete hole financially. And when you're in a hole financially, the team's in a hole because you can't do a whole lot. Deshaun Watson is from what, and again, like I said, I was rooting for a Deshaun Watson revival because I wanted him to be good for my fantasy team. And I thought, you know what? Maybe Deshaun can turn back the clock. Maybe. I don't know. Could he do it? We've seen Deshaun Watson as an elite level quarterback in this league. We've seen him as a top five quarterback in the NFL. So I thought, was it that crazy for me to suggest that he might be able to get back to that? I guess it was, because he is terrible. I mean, seriously, I watched a whole lot of that Browns game, and oh my gosh, it was bad. I mean, like I touched on earlier, he doesn't know where to go with the ball. Right when that ball is snapped, he's just freaking out. That pressure comes, and they were going against a Cowboys pass rush that was a wildly long stutter. They were going against a Cowboys pass rush that looked pretty good, and they were getting to him. But, I mean, Deshaun was like, he couldn't step up in the pocket. If he stepped up, he'd go right into somebody. Like, but it was his fault. Like, he didn't know where to go, and he looked slow. He looked sad. Like, he looked like every time the camera panned to Deshaun Watson, it was just like he was like sad the whole time. I almost felt bad. I guess watch the words, because a lot of people don't like Deshaun Watson. I don't know. I'm not thinking much about the off the field stuff, because who knows? But all I'm saying is Deshaun Watson is not a good quarterback. And I think a Deshaun Watson revival is far out of the realm of possibility. I don't think it's even remotely even going to happen at all. He's not good. So, okay. So the question is, if you're the Cleveland Browns, what the heck do you do? I mean, do you feel obligated to play the guy who you're paying all this money to? Right? Because some teams feel the obligation. It's like, well, shoot, we're giving this guy so much money. He's got to be the starter. For the betterment of the team, for the betterment of your receivers, for the betterment of your offense, do you go ahead and start Jameis Winston? You don't start DTR. He's bad too. But do you go ahead and start Jameis Winston? I'm not the biggest Jameis Winston fan overall, but I mean, he would definitely do better than Deshaun Watson has. I was watching First Things First on Fox Sports 1 with Nick Wright and Chris Broussard, and Nick Wright was saying he believes that Deshaun Watson will start week four, which might be a Thursday night or a Monday night game. It might be a primetime game. And then that will be his final start as a, no, it's not a, I don't know if it's a, is that a Sunday night game? No, it's not. Week four, they're going against the Raiders. But he was saying that he thinks that'll be the final game for Deshaun Watson as a Brown, as a starter. They'll put it in the backup. I could see that happening. Listen, it's tough because it's like, what do you do? But you're paying all this money to him. You can't really cut him. You can't cut him because that then you're going to have to pay $170 million. You want to wait a season to cut him. I was learning all this earlier today, and you're going to have to pay $123 million. I mean, this guy's getting money. You paid him so much. Best case scenario, if I'm being completely honest, if I'm the Cleveland Browns, would be you hope all this off the field stuff gets to him. And that they put him on the exemption list in the NFL, and that lets you pretty much be liberated from this contract. I don't know exactly the logistics of how that works, but that's what they should be hoping for, because Deshaun Watson is holding back this team. He's holding back Amari Cooper, and he's holding back the offense. That Browns offense was one of the most disgusting offenses I ever seen outside of the one drive. I mean, Deshaun Watson's dropping back. He's throwing deep balls, and he's missing guys by 20 yards. He threw that ball to the sideline, and I'm blanking on who the receiver was. Solid route. If it was placed right, could have been caught. He threw it like 10 yards out of bounds. It wasn't even close. Overthrew Amari Cooper a couple times, way deep, like way deep. Missing guys by 15 yards. He had one good throw in garbage time in the end. It was actually a really good throw. Amari Cooper was pretty much running a go route down the side, and he was open, and he laid it right in his hands, and Amari Cooper dropped it, which is not like Amari Cooper, but listen, Deshaun Watson doesn't look good. If I'm the Browns, I'd go ahead and start Jameis Winston. I would. I think he gives you the, because I think the Browns have a solid defense. They went against the Cowboys, didn't look great. Cowboys offense was rolling, but you go ahead and start Jameis Winston. I think you do. I just think that's the best for the team. I don't even know if guys like Deshaun Watson. I saw a video of a offensive lineman, I want to say it was, on the ground after a play, and Deshaun went over there to help him up, and he hit his hand out of the way, and then he was about to get up on his own. He didn't want Deshaun's help to get up. I don't know if guys like Deshaun Watson. I don't know if he has the locker room. I don't know if he has the ownership. I just think I think the Browns management now is feeling it. They're like, we made a mistake. And I understand to take a gamble, right? Because like I've said, we've seen Deshaun Watson be an elite quarterback in the NFL. We've seen that. But you know, this went south fast, and they took a risk. The problem is they gave him a fully guaranteed contract. So all that money is his regardless, unless this whole exemption list thing happens with the off the field stuff. Then I know there's some sort of loophole the Browns can figure out to get out of this. Again, all that contract stuff is so nitty gritty. Sometimes I just don't understand it, but I mean, there's a way, but this is a guaranteed contract for a guy who's playing dang near as bad as Daniel Jones. Like Deshaun Watson has gone from a top five quarterback to a literal bottom five quarterback who shouldn't even be starting anymore. That's how bad he is. And I was kind of like, you know what? I had a little faith, like, man, he could turn back the clock, give him a little time. It ain't happening. I don't know what the heck you do if you're the Browns, but my suggestion would be to bench him and put in Jameis Winston for the betterment of the team. I think he would do a better job of leading this offense. Okay. We'll hit the next subject here that I want to talk about. Is Russell Wilson's job in jeopardy with the Pittsburgh Steelers? As we know, the Pittsburgh Steelers named Russell Wilson the starter. And then he got injured before the game, pretty much. There were reports maybe 2 or 3 days before the game that he may not play. And obviously they have Justin Fields. They signed him both. They traded for Justin Fields, signed Russell Wilson in the offseason. And the reports were, if Russ doesn't play, obviously Fields is going to be the starter, because those guys were in a quarterback battle in training camp. Russ eventually won it. So the question is, Justin Fields started this game against the Falcons, won this game against the Falcons. Is Russell Wilson's job in jeopardy? Do you start Justin Fields and not look back if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers? And I'll tell you, no. Come on. Justin Fields didn't even look all that good. He didn't look horrendous, but he didn't look all that good. Justin Fields is a running back. I know there's people out there that are going to hate that, but he just is. He's not built to be a quarterback. He needs a lot of development as a quarterback. He didn't throw a touchdown. They end up winning that game on 6 field goals. Yep, Boswell nailed them all. Threw for 156 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Had 57 rush yards. He's a good runner, man. He is, and he's got that for him. But when it comes to being a complete quarterback and a passer, no. His job, Russell Wilson's job, is not in jeopardy. It shouldn't be in jeopardy. Listen, I know people are like, well, Justin Fields might be the future. And if Justin Fields is, if they're banking on Justin Fields to be the future and you want to develop him, okay. But I think the Steelers have a good team. We've seen that. They make the playoffs. They often lose in the first round. They don't end up having losing records because it's Mike Tomlin's Steelers with a really, 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 really good defense and TJ Watt leading the pack there. This is a good team. And I think a team that could make somewhat of a little bit of noise if they have a good quarterback. And now they got two guys, and Justin Fields started week one and ended up beating the Atlanta Falcons, who looked terrible, by the way. And people are questioning if Russell Wilson's job's in jeopardy. It shouldn't be. Russell Wilson is still a better quarterback in this situation. I don't care about his Denver days. That was a disgusting situation in itself. Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl champion. I've seen that guy absolutely shred it up. He just tears it up. Okay, that guy has had his moments. Is he as good as he used to be? No. But I still have confidence in Russell Wilson. I think he is currently the better quarterback than Justin Fields. He should not be the backup to Justin Fields as long as he is healthy. Now, if Russell Wilson is injured week two and they throw Justin Fields out there and that guy goes off for 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, leads the Steelers to a phenomenal victory, maybe it changed my mind a little. It'd be just one game, but it'd give me a little Justin Fields hope that maybe he's learning something. He won this game without throwing a single touchdown, and they played against the Falcons, who were terrible. They didn't win this game because of Justin Fields. They won this game because of the defense. The offense wasn't even moving the ball all that well. So I am not going to sit here and say that Russell Wilson's job's in jeopardy, because it's not, and it should not be. Because he is still the better quarterback, and I would still, a billion times out of a billion, rather have Russell Wilson be the guy taking the snaps for my team over Justin Fields. I think that's valid. A lot of people are not super duper high on Russell Wilson anymore because of the Denver days, because of what we saw with the Denver Broncos. I'm sorry, but I'm that's just not me. I don't think that situation was good, and the Sean Payton offense didn't work out for him. They didn't really have much to help him out, and I still think I'm not saying Russell Wilson's throwing it back to his Seattle days, and he's a top 3 quarterback in the NFL, and he's winning Super Bowls. All I'm saying is that I still think he can be a good quarterback in this league. I think the Steelers with George Pickens. I mean, dude, George Pickens has been working with Kenny Pickett his whole career. I mean, come on. Kenny Pickett is worse than, he's probably worse than Deshaun Watson. I mean, that's close. Ugh, Kenny Pickett's bad. George Pickens is good. I think with an offense, with a guy like George Pickens, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, it's a fine RB1 and 2 duo. And Pratt Freiermuth, I think, is generally a solid tight end. And obviously with an insanely good defense, with an insanely good defense, Minkah Fitzpatrick is just like he's everywhere, dude. That guy is everywhere as a safety. TJ Watt always making noise, knocked the ball out like twice and it didn't even count. I mean, like, he's just always everywhere too. Those two guys just absolutely destroy on defense. I think the Steelers are a good enough team to say, hey, we should stick with we're not going to develop a guy. We should stick with a guy who might be able to get the job done, and you give it to Russell Wilson. So as long as Russell Wilson is healthy going into week two, he should be starting this game. And they're going against the Broncos. Russell Wilson's old team. I didn't know that. Going against the Denver Broncos, who didn't look good either. Bo Nix almost made my bad list. He was not good. Will Levis and the Titans should have made my bad list. I skimmed over them. He should have made my bad list. That was ugly. So overall, Russell Wilson, his job should be safe, in my opinion. Okay, the next thing that I am going to get into is my San Francisco 49ers. Like this, I might talk about for a little longer than the other things, but the 49ers end up playing the New York Jets on Monday Night Football, beat them 32-19, I believe. And I'm going to talk about how I felt that game went for the 49ers, how I think they did. What are my thoughts on the San Francisco 49ers after week one, beating the New York Jets? Coming into the game, I did actually pick the Jets to win. I did. Not that I didn't think the Niners could. I just thought that I could see the 49ers potentially coming out soft. Kyle Shanahan coming out like he's done in the past in week ones and taking things lightly. And then next thing you know, Christian McCaffrey's not playing, right? I just thought, but I wouldn't have been shocked if the Niners won. That was just my pick. And I was wrong. The Niners looked good last night. They looked better than the Jets. They looked good in dang near all facets of the game. I have a couple of things that I will talk about. So the first thing is Fred Warner, man. I mean, we know this, but once that dude retires, just put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, just an insane linebacker. Always making a play. Always everywhere. Just when you think Breece Hall or whatever running back is going to break out for a run, here's Fred Warner. Bang. That guy is so darn good at what he does. So I think that I wanted to just give him a shout out. Starting at the beginning of this game, I thought the 49ers offense looked bad. I mean, it did objectively. They went 3-and-out. Then they got the ball back because of a fumble from Breece Hall. Didn't get a first down. Went 1-2-3. Kicked the field goal. Jake Moody, who went 6-for-6 on field goals. Wild. The offense looked pretty bland. It looked unprepared. It looked undisciplined. Honestly, like they were miscommunicating. There was a couple plays where Debo messed up the route. So in the beginning, it wasn't looking good. And the only positive thing to come from it, well, I'm not gonna say that. The offense was not looking good in the beginning of the game. Had a couple of concerns. I've seen Shanahan come out slow before. Takes him a second to pick it up. Okay. Then things started to roll. Things started to roll once they started to feed Jordan Mason and stop feeding Debo Samuel. Listen, I like Debo Samuel. You know who loves Debo Samuel? Kyle Shanahan. He loves him. He's obsessed with him. I think he was a little too obsessed with Debo Samuel yesterday because that guy was just getting too many carries. And it was like Debo, 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 Debo. That's what it felt like. And I was like, man, it is third down. How about that third down trick play that Kyle tried to pull out of his butt? Third down, and how about you trust your quarterback? Spread the ball around. And no, they did a trick play. Oh, we're going to give it to him. Oh, we're going to give it to him. Oh, and then you lose like 7 yards. I mean, that's, you know, Kyle likes to get cute, likes to get fancy. That's what he likes to do. Doesn't really tend to work all that often. Shanahan was feeding Debo like crazy, and I wasn't for it. That was my biggest complaint early on. And then he kind of stopped. Not he stopped entirely, because Debo was still catching the ball. Ended with 9 targets, 5 receptions, 8 carries for 23 rush yards, had 54 receiving yards. I mean, he had a good game, and that's fine to give the ball to Debo. He's a playmaker. But the way he was just giving it to him over and over and over again, I was like having this obsession with Debo. It's like, I got to give it to Debo. I got to give it to Debo. Like, dude, Kyle, relax. Spread the ball around. Jordan Mason looks great. You still have George Kittle. Brandon Ayuk. He actually had his flaws. Juwan Jennings. I mean, come on. Finally does that, and the offense starts rolling. Towards the end of the second quarter and the second half mostly, the offense was absolutely rolling. And Here's a big reason for it. The offensive line was the biggest shocker for me. I mean, they weren't bad. The 49ers tend to run behind Trent Williams, which makes a whole lot of sense because he's probably the best tackle in the game. He is the best tackle in the game. He's just the best lineman overall in the game, offensive lineman. And they tend to run behind him because that's what you do when you have the best offensive tackle in the game. You run behind him. They run to the left. Dominic Pooney, right? The 49ers drafted him this year. They drafted him this year in the third round. And that guy looked good. I mean, like steal of the draft type good. He had his moments, but man, he was opening up holes for Jordan Mason. Pause. But he totally was. And he was a huge part. The offensive line in general looked better besides Colt McKivitz. That guy's got to go. We all knew that, though. But Dominic Pooney was looking really, really good for the 49ers. And it gives us hope. Can we have a run game where we can go both sides? Because generally, it's straight behind Trent. It's a little fake to the right. Or then go left behind Trent. It's like you got to end up behind Trent. And there's times where they go right and it ends up working out. I'm sure there are times that we can find, but generally it's not been good. But now, listen, it's week one. In the Jets defensive line, and Quinnen Williams is a great player. Like I love Quinnen Williams. But they have some questionable pieces, some former 49ers, right? Javon Kinlaw is a Jet. Solomon Thomas is a Jet. Questionable. But Dominic Pooney looked really good. And this is a really good sign for 49ers fans that if they have a competent right tackle, I mean, if they have a competent right, I guess he's the right guard, huh? Because McKivitz is the right, he plays that right tackle, which honestly, dude, that's just ugly. But what I was going to say was Dominic Pooney was looking good. He was looking really, really good. And it's a really good sign if the 49ers have an offensive lineman that looks good outside of Trent Williams. Huge for the 49ers. Absolutely huge. One thing I want to say is Brandon Ayuk, terrible. Dropped two wide open balls. One was a touchdown. One was a first down. That touchdown pass should have been caught. Brock Purdy placed that ball in the perfect spot it could have been. And it was like a phenomenal throw. And Brandon had to dive for it. And he dropped it. Hit him in the hands. Would have been a touchdown, but he dropped it. See, that's what happens when you miss training camp. When you cry for all this money in the offseason, you cry, 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 cry. You hold out on training camp. You hold out, you hold out, you hold out. And then last second, you take the deal that was already on the table like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Realize, oh yeah, I am playing for a pretty good team. I should probably suck it up. Miss all of training camp. Here you are week one. That's what happens. Go to training camp so you can catch the football. Should have been caught. Should have been caught. $30 million. I saw people on Twitter saying, should have been cut, but this shouldn't be a drop. It's a drop. He's a $30 million wide receiver. That should be caught 10 times out of 10. You want the big time bucks? You want to be hanging around the big guys like A.J. Brown and Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase, who's about to get a bag, and Tyreek Hill? You catch that ball every time. Brandon Ayuk was getting on my nerves last night, just a little bit. And Jordan Mason again looked really, really good. It sounds like Christian McCaffrey has an Achilles problem. It sounds like Kyle said it was tendonitis. What do you do if you're the 49ers? You rest him. You definitely don't risk an Achilles rupture for Christian McCaffrey. You don't want that. So if you're the 49ers, if McCaffrey's not up for this game next week, if it's even a slight concern, rest him. Mason looked was doing everything McCaffrey could do. He was. I mean, he was running like crazy. And McCaffrey, we don't need you. We need you, but we don't need you to be rushed back and rupture this Achilles. So you got Jordan Mason. You got Jordan Mason. And run him. And honestly, when McCaffrey comes back, the 49ers should be giving Mason, Jordan Mason should be cutting into McCaffrey's touches. They should be splitting this, man. Take a little bit of the pressure, take a little bit of just the workload off of McCaffrey. Let Jordan Mason handle a little bit of it, you know? I think that's what the Niners should be doing. You got a good one with Jordan Mason. He looks really, really good. So the one last thing that I will say about this 49er game, they won. I'm glad they won. Brock looked good. I didn't really talk much about Brock. He looked good. I don't really have any complaints with how he played. The offense had its moments in the beginning, but it ended up looking good. Defense looked pretty solid. Run game, offensive line was surprisingly good. So you got to be like, man, as a Niner fan, things must be looking good, man. It must be feeling good, right? You guys won week one, man. You guys are back. So I'm not going to say that. Listen, I've seen this before. I'm not going to be one of those 49er fans who are going to come out here and be like, bang, bang, we're back. Week one win. Start the season off strong. Let's go. Because I've seen this before. I've seen this before. And we normally win regular season games. And we end up losing in the playoffs. So I'm not getting hyped over this because I know it. And it's sad. Is it a sad way to be a fan? I wouldn't call it that, but I could see where people would be like, dang, that's a lamer way to be a fan. Although I don't believe it's lame. Just on the outside, people might think that. You know who to blame? It's Kyle Shanahan you can blame for that because he's tainted my view of this team. I believe that this team is really good and will win some regular season games, but ultimately all I care about is the Super Bowl. So if they can't do that, why the heck would I get happy over a week one win against the Jets? I'm not getting too hyped over this. The Niners should win this game. The Niners should win almost every game on the schedule. They're the best roster in football. You got to hope this is the year that they can finally win the Super Bowl because that's the expectations for this team. If I was a fan of the Detroit Lions or something, a team that's just, it's now becoming good, you're getting hyped over every win. That Monday, that Sunday night win, you're getting hyped. And I get it. That's awesome. But the 49ers have been here before, and I have no desire to get absolutely overly hyped over a week one victory. Just not me. I need this team to actually show me that they can win a Super Bowl, and when they're hoisting up that Lombardi trophy, I will get hyped. That is the moment I will get hyped. Until then, not going to overreact. This is a good team. We know this. We've seen this. It should be. They should be winning these games, and they are, and I'm glad. I'm not mad. I'm glad they're winning these games, but I'm not overreacting. They have to win a Super Bowl for me to be satisfied with this team because they've made it so many times, yet they can't finish the job. The final thing I'm going to talk about today is a little fantasy football action. Okay, I got a couple of names here of guys who had very underwhelming week ones in fantasy football. And the question is going to be, should we panic? Should we panic a lot? Should we panic a little? Or should we just not be concerned about it? Is it time to hit the panic button on these players for fantasy football? Starting with, I don't know why I said fantasy football. Like I really emphasized the T. That was pretty, I don't know why I did that. Didn't super emphatic. Anyways, name number one, Amari Cooper. Touched on him earlier because we touched on Deshaun Watson. Ended the game with two receptions for 16 yards. He had nine targets. Two receptions, though. Ended with 2.6 fantasy points. I'm talking all this in half PPR formats, by the way. Is it time to panic for Amari Cooper? The targets were there, 9 of them, right? He's clearly the best wide receiver on the Browns, although he dropped that deep ball. Shouldn't have done that, but he did. Is it time to panic? Yes, it is. If they keep Deshaun Watson in, it is time to panic because he'll have one game or two games maybe, but this guy does not look good enough to get Amari Cooper the football a consistent amount throughout the season. So if I'm Amari Cooper or fantasy managers, sure, it's time to panic. Whoops. Didn't mean to drop that. Get him on your bench until we figure out he can be a consistent lineup piece. Mark Andrews is the next guy. Should we panic about Mark Andrews? Ended the game with 2 receptions for 14 yards. Half PPR formats got him to 2.4 fantasy points. People are going to be like, it's time to panic big time because you know why? His job has been taken by who? Isaiah Likely. 9 receptions, 111 yards, and a touchdown, ended with 21.6 fantasy points. The number one tight end of the week. Isaiah Likely, the backup to Mark Andrews. I'm putting Mark Andrews on the slightly concerned list. Not fully concerned, not as bad as Amari Cooper, but just a little. Mark Andrews has been the guy there for years. I have trouble believing that they're just going to abandon him after a really good Isaiah Likely game and in a very bad Mark Andrews game in week 1. Opening night against the Chiefs. I'm sorry. I know Mark Andrews is older than Isaiah Likely. I know he is more injury prone than Isaiah Likely. I have trouble believing that the Baltimore Ravens would just give up on him after all this time. He's been the number one guy there for so many years. It's slightly concerning, but it's not as terrible as some people are making it out to be. Mark Andrews managers, don't freak out yet. Just a little. Let's move on to Marvin Harrison, who arguably had the single most disappointing rookie debut ever. 1 reception for 4 yards. Didn't even crack 1 point. Ended at 0.9 in half PPR formats. That was really ugly. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals posted up 28 points. You would think that Marvin Harrison had to do with a lot of that, or at least a little bit of it. He had nothing to do with that game. Kyler Murray had him wide open towards the end of the game on that one of those final plays, and he didn't see him, and he missed him. And that would have been a touchdown, so he wouldn't probably be on this list, but it would have been skewed. Is it time to panic about Marvin Harrison? I'm not saying panic just yet. Listen, Marvin Harrison had a bad week 1. Bad rookie debut, but I'm not pushing the panic button. This dude was drafted so high for a reason. The Cardinals love this guy, and I'm not going to say, I don't think the Cardinals are just going to not use him. I'm not panicking over Marvin Harrison. I still think he'll be a valuable fantasy asset moving forward, whether that starts in week 2 or whenever. I don't think it's time to panic about Marv. Okay, we're going to hit Dalton Kincaid. Is it time to panic about Dalton Kincaid? A lot of people were saying, man, this guy's a league-winning tight end. League winner, Dalton Kincaid. Ended the game with 1 reception for 11 yards. 1.6 fantasy points on the day. Another situation. It was the same game. The Buffalo Bills put up 34 points. You would think Kincaid had something to do with it. He didn't. Interesting. Am I panicking on Kincaid? I'm not going to panic on Kincaid just yet because Dalton Kincaid had a good end to his year last year. He was a solid tight end. I still believe he'll have a solid role in this offense with the lack of receivers. I mean, Josh spread the ball around a lot this game, kind of equally to a bunch of different players like Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir. Like, all these guys are going to be getting the ball a little bit. I think Dalton Kincaid's going to be in that mix. He might be one of the more trustworthy wide receivers. He's not a wide receiver, but trustworthy pass catchers on the Bills. I'm not worrying too much about Dalton Kincaid just yet. Now, if he keeps this up for the next 2 weeks, yes, I'd throw some worry in there, 100%. But after week 1, let's take it slow, Kincaid owners. I don't think it's crazy I don't think it's worth it to give up on him just yet. The next guy I'm going to hit is Zamir White. And over 3.6 points because he had 44 rush yards. He had two receptions for 2 yards. That's more than 3.6 points, right, Zach? It's 5.6, but he also fumbled. Got him down to 3.6. Zamir White is a guy that I was high on coming into the season. Actually was. Zamir White was a guy I was targeting a lot. He's my RB2 in one league. I'm panicking. Sorry. I just am. I don't like how that offense looked. It was worse than I anticipated it being. And Alexander Mattison, I mean, he had 6 targets, 5 carries. He had 6 targets. And Zamir White only had 13 carries. I mean, I thought he was the lead running back. And last year when he filled in for Josh Jacobs, he was a lot more efficient than he was, 2 days ago on Sunday against the Chargers. But 13 carries, I thought he'd get more than that. Mattison had 5 carries and he had 6 targets. Alexander Mattison seems like more of the pass catching back, had 43 receiving yards, right? So it's not just tiny passes. Like, he's making moves and he's going. Okay, so Alexander Mattison seems like the pass catching back here. Zamir White, 13 rushing attempts. It's scary, but I could see that decreasing and seeing Alexander Mattison get up there. They're pretty much the same player, honestly, in terms of like how good they are. I think they're both around the same level. I'd be pretty nervous if I was a Zamir White owner, which I am. Don't love the fact that he was losing a lot of play to Alexander Mattison, and he just wasn't very productive when he was out there. The next guy I'm going to hit on is Chris Olave. Another one of those situations where, the Saints had 47 points. You'd have to think their wide receiver one had something to do with it, right? Absolutely not. Chris Olave, who I was not high on coming into the year, had 2 receptions for 11 yards, even though the Saints and Derek Carr put up 47 points. 2 receptions for 11 yards for Chris Olave. I was not high on Chris Olave coming into the season because I didn't think the Saints offense was going to be that great. The Saints offense was great. It just had nothing to do with Chris Olave. So I was right, but I was wrong. Am I panicking about Chris Olave? I would have never drafted him. I just didn't like it. It's an interesting move now, though, because the Saints offense looked good. Again, it was against the Panthers, so take it with a grain of salt, but it did look good. Derek Carr was throwing it up. I mean, he was dicing up that defense. Chris Olave will end up being a mediocre wide receiver. He'll end up right in the middle. He'll be serviceable. But I throw a little bit of panic on Chris Olave because I would think that I thought, man, this offense isn't going to be good, so I wouldn't take Chris Olave. But what about, hey, this offense is good, but he's still not getting the points. Kind of freaky, isn't it? I throw a little bit of panic on Chris Olave. The last guy on my list is Drake London. 2 receptions for 15 yards ended in with 2.5 fantasy points, 3 targets on the day. The Steelers defense is really, really good. I'm throwing just a tiny bit of panic, but not much. I think Drake London is going to be fine generally, and I think he's going to bounce back. I did bring up how Kirk Cousins earlier in the show was part of the bad list, and that is very deserving because he was terrible. The Steelers defense is good. I'm giving the Falcons a little more time. I'll give Kirk another week or so. I'll give Drake another week or so to figure out and see if he'll be a consistent piece in the offense. I think he will. I don't think we should be looking at week one and counting out Drake London just yet. So I'm not really going to panic yet on Drake London. Come back to me next week. If these guys are still on the list, they likely have gotten a little bit more of me getting enticed to hit the panic button. But that's where I stand on these guys in terms of fantasy football. I couldn't have gotten to everybody who underperformed, but those were some of the main underperformers. I think that was pretty big in the fantasy football discourse. So that's where we're at, and that's going to wrap it up for me today. If you guys liked the episode, if you like the show, you must have because you're still listening, right? We're 54-ish minutes into this show. So if you liked it, leave a like, leave a rating, leave a review, leave a subscription, leave whatever you want. That is positive for me. Helps the channel grow. Y'all can follow me and follow this Instagram. Follow all the social medias. The Instagram's at thenightshift.pod, TikTok at thenightshiftpod, Twitter at thenightshift, 2 T's at the beginning. Two T's at the end, and on YouTube at the Night Shift Pod. You can subscribe there. I would really appreciate it. Leave some comments. Let me know how all this sounds, how everything is. If you'd like to come on the show, let me know. You totally can. You can even shoot me an email, pod.thenightshift@gmail.com. Y'all can do that. And I really appreciate you guys listening and tuning in. As always, it's always a fun time. We're going to keep getting into this football stuff. I'll be back next week for some week two discussion. Hopefully I can get somebody on the show with me. If anybody out there wants to hop on, you know you can. And just reach out. Again, appreciate y'all for tuning in to the Night Shift. It's been a really fun episode. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Like I said, you must have, because you made it this far. So maybe tell some people about it. Tell your friends, tell your family to listen in for some pretty good football insight, I think. I just unplugged my computer with my leg. That was odd. Anyways, everyone out there listening, I really appreciate it. And that'll be it for me. I'm out. Peace. Thank you.